Hey everybody, and welcome to the Brothers Geek, where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. My name's Chris Laporte. I'm the Avengers beeper manufacturer and Lando's drink refiller.
And my name is Patrick Laporte. This is the biggest crossover event in history. And one time when I was a kid, I taught this guy a song. But then to learn the song, I had to visit him as an adult, and then I went back as a kid to teach him the song.
What?
That was the most elaborate thing you've said yet.
You know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm Tiffany, and I'm here to say that I am the seller of Chinese knockoff Infinity Stones and bubble gun cleaner.
Nice. She totally didn't just make that up on the spot at all.
No, not at all. I was prepared, you guys. I was just
it's always been like this, Tiffany.
I was just so thrown off by your really elaborate title you got there.
Do you know what that's from?
I don't think so.
It's the Song of Storms from Ocarina of Time. It's how you obtain the song / heart piece.
Sing a song and you teach it to yourself? Is that what I heard?
No.
Essentially, yes, you do teach it to yourself.
Well, yeah. So, this guy in a windmill, right, he's playing a song, but he can't quite get it right. So when you're Kid Link, you're like, oh man, I gotta teach this guy a song, but I don't know the song yet. So then when you pull the Master Sword out, and it's 7 years later, you go back. Yeah, you go back to that guy, and he knows the song. And he's like, oh yeah, one time this kid, like 7 years ago, taught me this song. It's real cool. So he teaches you the Song of Storms. And then you go back to when you're a kid to teach him the Song of Storms. It's really weird.
Time stuff. We'll be talking time a lot stuff about that today anyway, so it's very good.
Video games, am I right?
It's very video game.
And you also unlock the most terrifying dungeon that there is, the bottom of the well.
Oh yeah, you do that.
Ugh. But when you go there, do you go, well, well, well?
Actually, you go, all right, all right, all right.
Oh, Jesus. Welcome.
But yeah, there's a really weird, creepy hand thing in the bottom of the well, and nobody likes it.
Nope. Well, welcome back, Tiff. Thanks for joining us for this little movie that we're going to talk about today.
Thanks for having me. I was just so excited because I didn't think many people would go watch this indie movie, so.
That's true. I'm glad it really took off.
Well, yeah, I'm glad the response was well received.
Well, speaking of, I do have a question for you, just real quick before we get on to news and everything. How disappointed would both of you be?
Oh.
Wait, what?
How disappointed would both of you be as a kid if your parents were like, hey, I have a real-life Avenger to come to your party, like your birthday party. And you're like, oh, sweet, this is going to be great. And Vision shows up.
We'll talk about more of this later, but I'd be very disappointed.
Don't talk about my robot husband this way, please.
I was like, he's going to say Vision.
Oh, man. I think I'd rather have Hawkeye show up in my party.
I would. At least he could, like, do some bow and arrow tricks or something.
You know what? Vision is my robot boyfriend. I'm going to defend him.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and everybody else, because he can't fend for himself, apparently.
I'm very excited then. I'm so glad we have, like, a strong opinion towards Vision. I'm glad.
Yeah. Someone's gotta.
Well, good on you, Tiff. I hope we didn't just instantly scare you away from the podcast.
How do I leave this chat? How do I kick myself out of this?
You have Patrick's internet.
How do I kick myself? you know who you wouldn't want to show up to your birthday party, Chris?
Ant-Man.
Dutch is... Oh.
Is he even here? I don't know.
Oh, he's here. He's here. Oh, no. Everything's destroyed.
Carry on with your segue, Pat.
I was going to say Dutch's gang.
Because
they'd steal all your cake.
Hey, don't steal the cake. Steal the presents before you steal the cake.
No, they want that cake.
Do they?
Like Rihanna.
What is the umbrellas?
You can't have your umbrella and eat it too, okay? It's not a thing.
Can you imagine if Red Dead Ratatouille's revenge?
Red Ted Talk Redemption.
That's got to be a meme now. You need to turn that into a meme. Ratatouille's revenge.
Can you imagine if that game's actual plot was, we really need to get this fucking cake? Like, I just gotta have this cake.
I'd play the shit out of that game. I don't know about you. But anyway, what we're talking about for dudes is Red Dead 2 got a new trailer the day of recording this.
Yeah.
Wednesday. And it's very much, it looks, this trailer opposed to the other is more story focused, it seems.
Yeah.
You get a lot more of what the story is going to be about.
It's a,
which is like, the West is dying. We need to reclaim it. And so apparently the way to reclaim it is to like steal everything.
Kill everyone.
Yeah.
Trump's America.
That's right. I didn't realize this was 1816, not 2016.
It's actually like 1899, nice... Patrick.
Yeah, well, I know that, but it was a joke. Thanks for ruining it.
It's in the trailer.
Thank you.
It says 1899.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
God damn it.
Fact check.
Fake news. It was actually 1899. we get a nice shot of John Marston.
Yes.
And what looks like how he gets his scars, maybe? Because those look real fresh.
That's true. Mm. He does look a little younger. Like 10 years
old.
Does
look very young, yeah.
For
a second, I was like, was that him? Yeah, that was him.
Three, just in the same exact spot, scars on his face? Yes, that's him.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I knew. It's like, they're fresher, but they're there.
With a longing look to the new main character.
Yeah, like, please, save.
Save me so I can be emotionally attached to the player later.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Are you excited, Chris?
I'm very excited. And it's just a gorgeous looking game. My God.
Yeah, I'm just going to have fun walking around.
Yeah, seriously.
And as opposed to the first Red Dead, I'm going to, like, steal everybody's shit. Because I'm not trying to redeem myself this game and be a nice guy. I'm trying to do the opposite of that.
So do you have to play the game in a way where you have to do the whole redemption thing after? Like, if you saved a bunch of people, do you have to just light them all on fire?
I hogtie them all and put them all on a train track, actually.
And then you hop on the train and you're the one driving it, right?
Yeah, and I go, choo-choo, motherfuckers. And I run them all
ba-blau.
Down.
Ba-blazzle.
Ba-blazzle. The train's going to blazzle you all over the place.
We seem drunker than we've ever been.
Yeah, and I'm barely even drinking, actually.
I have literally Brita water.
I have Deschutes Jubil Ale.
Isn't that a Christmas pure one? Life.
Oh, yep, I had one life. More, and it's still good. I don't know. It was in my fridge in, like, the corner. And I was like, I checked the expiration date. I was like, 2 days ago. It's just a Best Buy date.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else.
Is it alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't alcohol just old stuff anyways?
True.
I mean, it's not gonna be bad for you. It's got alcohol in there. I mean, it's gonna be bad because it's
not
gonna alcohol.
Be bad for you. It's not gonna be bad no. for you. It's got alcohol.
You can
it.
Drink. You can drink as much of that alcohol as you want. No side effects.
Just keep drinking
while you're watching Ratatouille 2's Revenge.
Red Dead. I don't even know what you said, but it was great. Red Dad 2.
Red Dead.
Boys Revenge.
Redrunction. I tried.
That should be the title of when we play Red Dead 2 or 1 drunk, yes, which we should.
Which
do.
We should do. Oh, God. What? We're talking about some, like we said, for some nice indie movie.
Nice?
Nice? Is it? Is it a nice? It's the 69th movie in this series, I think.
It seems like yeah. it, that's for sure.
I think I'm just going to warn everybody right away. We'll have a non-spoilery section, but I feel like every bit of this movie
it's
is
It's going
to
be very short, yeah.
So if you want to go in totally fresh, just stop listening now, although you've probably seen the 15 million memes that are going around already.
Yeah, I do like how there's people are spoiling the movie, but the way they're doing it is like out of context images.
Yeah.
That's like probably my favorite part about what's happening. That's with true. Infinity War.
And that's why we're all seeing like 1500 Squidwards around the internet right now.
I mean, we already were, to be fair.
Wait, yeah, you're not wrong.
There's Squidward memes aplenty, Chris.
That's true. Well, let's.
But more grimaces nowadays. So
that's true. Well, let's give our general impressions before we start diving in. So let's say guests first. Tiff, what did you think of the Infinity Stones and where to find them?
I really liked it. I think overall it, the thing that I like about it the most are the things that I liked The Last Jedi the most. It took all of my expectations and it gave me a giant middle finger. And
it did do that, yeah.
And it was a lot more aggressive in tone, which I think was unusual for a Marvel film. And because of that, I think they just the stakes were high, and it actually felt that way in this movie. It is a two-part movie, though, so I kind of forgot that that was a thing. But overall, I really, really liked it. I think Black Panther is still my favorite, just as a whole, because that's something that I can rewatch multiple times.
Yeah.
Infinity War, I haven't gone to see it again since watching it. So, but I really liked it.
Nice. Patrick.
I will just say you don't even have to listen to this episode because you can just listen to our prediction episode because we got everything absolutely correct, didn't we, Chris?
100% correct. All the way through.
All the way.
We did get some things, though.
We got very few things, but yes.
There was one thing I got that you, like, were like, no, and I totally got it. And when I saw it, I was like, fuck you, Patrick. I think I said that audibly in the theater.
And I got something right, too, though. That's so true. No, I liked it a lot. It does pop off immediately and then just continues to do so throughout the movie. It is a heavier tone than most Marvel movies. But I agree with Tiffany. I don't like it as much as Black Panther, or Guardians 1. I have it ranked as number 3 on my overall MCU list. It might even drop to 4 the more I think about it, with Iron Man 1 being 3. But I did like it a lot. I left the theater and I was like, okay, Marvel, you have my attention for at least a few more movies. so
before you do it all again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So as far as Avengers movies were, like, you know, like Avengers, it's definitely the best one.
Agreed.
But yeah, I overall, I had a lot of fun. Sometimes I didn't have a lot of fun. I will get to more things later, though.
Yeah.
In the spoiler section.
Oh, yeah. I also had a lot of fun. I was very entertained the whole way through, and boy, it just does not hold your hand. You just,
no.
You're off and running immediately, and it doesn't stop. And I appreciate that, because, like, we don't need to know exactly how all these people's relationships intertwine with each other. Like, it's relying on the fact that you watched everything, and I very much appreciate that, actually. I did like some of the reminders of, like, remember what the Infinity Stones are? Like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I had some fairly big problems with it, too, that I can't go into until we get into spoilers, obviously. But I kept having to remind myself after I was done, like, I did enjoy myself. I did enjoy myself. I just can't think about it too deeply, because it starts unraveling in certain places for me. But there's a lot of good funny moments too. Unfortunately, there was like a one or two that were like what you talk about, Patrick, where it's like serious moment, joke immediately.
Yep.
It's
one of the things I was going to talk about.
Yeah. I think there's one I can definitely think of, but there was a couple, I think. But there was some very heavy moments that they didn't just turn into a joke immediately, which was good, which was necessary for what they were trying to do.
Yeah,
exactly. And there was real stakes. I was surprised at a couple moments throughout the movie where I thought, oh wow, they're really going for it. But as we will get into in spoilers, I think, like, I don't know, I think those stakes are not nearly as high as I initially thought, but we'll get there.
Yeah. For sure.
So that being said,
out of 6 Infinity Stones, how many stones would you give it?
So what I did, when I have to explain, I rode the hype train all the way through to the end. I took that day off. I went to Disneyland.
Holy
I went
shit.
To go meet all of the Avengers that you could meet there. And I went to all of them, and I was like, I can't wait to see you guys fight tonight. I was, like, so, like...
You do know those aren't the actual actors, right?
Don't ruin the magic for me. I had purple eyeshadow and purple and gold for Thanos. And then I had, like, an Infinity Gauntlet bracelet. Like, I went all out, and I rode that train. So,
You didn't ride that train. You conducted it.
Yeah,
like,
I conducted
the
train.
I built that train. Disneyland.
You built that train on rock and roll.
Wow, that's racist, Pat. Wow.
Whoa. I didn't say you built the train tracks.
I probably built the fireworks too, huh?
Oh my god, it took me like
you're not even
5 minutes to catch up to you.
You're not even Chinese.
But yeah, so I would say like 5.5 out of 6 Infinity Stones is my rating.
5.5. I'm gonna give it the time gem. I'm gonna give it the reality gem.
What's the one on the middle finger?
The mind. No, that's the big one. I don't know. The power gem. I'm gonna give it power, mind, time, and reality. So 4.5. I don't know the half one though.
I'm gonna give it 4 Chaos Emeralds.
It's just a rock.
Oh shit!
Oh my gosh, you're blowing my mind.
Actually, I'll give it all of the Infinity Stones except time and reality.
Because those are the best.
Yeah, because no one knows how to fucking use them right. But whatever.
So salty.
Except when you just want to project what you could possibly do with it to prove a point.
Yeah, unless you want to tell history lessons to the class. Then...
you create an overhead projector and slide the Infinity Stone in it.
Let's get that Infinity Stone on a transparency, please.
Does anybody... Does anybody have any wipes?
I feel like
ran out of wipes.
I feel like Chris, you just dated yourself with the transparency joke.
Oh fuck yeah!
I mean, we use those when I was a youngin too.
For like a year.
For like two years, yeah. But I still use them.
I'm turning a terrible, terrible age like 2 days after this podcast releases.
That's true.
25 isn't bad.
We'll go with that. 25 is, it's not, yeah, I'm overreacting.
18's not bad.
You're legal.
16 yeah, isn't terrible. I'm using the time stone. Isn't bad.
Thank you, Tiffany. I really appreciate this. Oh, no God, problem. My pimples are back. You went too far.
Didn't know you were going with pimples. I was very scared for a moment.
Oh, man. So this will be the spoiler section, everybody. Don't listen.
Spoilers.
Don't listen at all. Oh, I guess you could.
if you just don't care. Yeah.
If you haven't, obviously don't listen.
Listen if you're thinking, I've never seen a Marvel movie before. Maybe this one should be the first one I see.
You guys are really bad at advertising yourselves. Don't listen. Don't listen to this.
Don't listen at all.
Don't
just
listen.
Turn this off right now.
Yeah. I've been saying that since episode one now. So.
All right. So you've been warned.
Yeah.
So my favorite part was when Captain Planet showed up. And
oh, yeah.
Played by John Cheadle. John Cheadle. Don Cheadle.
John Cheadle shows up. Some random dude.
I'm done.
Don Cheadle's half cousin.
John Cheadle.
Oh man.
John Cheadle.
No H, just J O N.
Let's start on a positive note. What was your what was the most funny line or moment to you?
Okay, I was thinking about this.
Okay, you guys go first.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a good anything Drax does. I don't know if Drax counts.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Anything he does.
So
Go ahead,
Pat.
Okay, so I was going to say, the one that probably got me the most, so I'm going to say it, is, because that's the question.
Yes.
Is.
And it's an audio podcast, so it would help if you said it. What if you're miming it over there?
Oh my gosh, you sound like you're reading from like 50 Shades or something, where she just like talks in a loop.
Yeah, that's a callback. Is when the Guardians, minus Gamora, arrive on Titan, and they're fighting, like, Iron Man and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Star-Lord goes, "Where's Gamora?" And then Iron Man goes, "I'll do you one better. Who's Gamora?" And then Drax is like, "I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?" That one got me the hardest. I think that was probably...
Because
it's like, it's good timing, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's something that we would say, and that's what I think a lot of like the Marvel humor is. I had a discussion with my friend who like doesn't really like that Marvel is super jokey and stuff like that. But I'm just like, but I do, because in serious situations I make jokes like that. And so a lot of the like that one specifically is like exactly like something we would say, I feel like.
Yeah, and it, like, diffuses the situation.
Yeah. You know it's,
so,
like, not
like, it works
serious.
Well.
Yeah. But also, oh, sorry.
No, go.
just about Drax in general, moving from Guardians 1 to Guardians 2, because he was someone who just took things really literally in Guardians 1, and then they kind of made him a big joke in Guardians 2, and I didn't like it. But for some reason, in 3, he's like this comic relief, him and Mantis, that like I really enjoyed. I think I just learned to accept it, what they were doing. So they were probably like my favorite parts of the movie, that like in terms of like humor.
Yeah,
there was a really funny part with Mantis when they're like, "Put on your angry face," or whatever.
Oh yeah, and she's just in the background like grimacing.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. And she says like a phrase backwards, and Drax is like, "Yeah, that."
Yeah, she says, "We're here to
kick names and take ass."
Yeah, and Drax is just accepting of it. Like, yes.
Yeah, that's a good part too.
I like the my favorite humor throughout the whole thing is like that it's the super subtle quick humor that they don't really set up. It's just like thrown right in there. So one of those moments was when Wong saves Iron Man, like, with a portal or whatever, and throws that thing through the portal. And Iron Man just blasts off, like, because he's got to move. He's got to go fast. He's got to get those Chaos Emeralds. And as he's flying off, he's just like, Wong, you're invited to their wedding. Like,
yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that.
That's
too.
Really good. And, so basically all of Iron Man's lines are like your favorite.
Which I hate admitting, because I just, like, in our predictions episode, I'm so fucking done with Iron Man. And I thoroughly enjoyed his character in this one.
Yeah.
I think it's because he had far less of a role. I mean, no one had a big role because there's so many damn people in this movie. So I think that helped a lot where he's just not the centerpiece, you know?
And I think kind of compared to everyone else, he had like 10 years. What, Iron Man 1 released today, 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So I think he had like the most development, if you kind of think about it, where he starts
God,
off.
I was 14. What the God.
I don't want to do math. I don't want to admit how old I am.
Subtracting 10 isn't hard, Tiff. Are you okay?
No, I don't want to think about it. Time stone. One time stone,
we
please.
All have problems with our ages today.
Yeah. Well, it's bad news.
Yeah. I did like with Iron Man 2. I think they did it was a really good idea to
Iron Man 2 is like the worst one. What are you talking about?
Oh, get out.
That's a good movie, too.
I knew someone was going to say that as soon as I said it.
with the guy from Black Panther. Good movie.
Yeah. I think it was really good that they paired him with other very Tony Stark characters. Like his and Doctor Strange's butting heads was good because they're basically the same character. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they decided, like, well, let's just lean into it and have them have to work with each other.
Yeah. I think one line that probably would have been my, like, most funny, where I laughed at the most, wasn't, just because I saw it in they revealed it in the trailer, which is when, like, oh, I'm Peter, by the way, and then he goes, Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our makeup names? Spider-Man. That, like... That part's really funny, but because it was in the trailer and I saw it so much, it became unfunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he delivered that line real good, too.
He had maybe the best acting in the movie. It's close. But
I would say Thanos is the best.
Thanos is
actor.
Really is good. Gamora has some really good stuff, too.
That's true.
Chris Hemsworth is really good, too.
Oh, all the funny scenes with the Guardians and Thor. How they're like,
oh my
he's like
God.
A pirate and a, what is it?
It's had like a pirate angel.
A pirate and an angel had a baby. So, okay. Since you brought it up right now, the first joke in that segment is really funny, but then they keep saying jokes and then it gets really old really fast. It's just like a long sequence of just jokes where it's like, all right, let's continue with the movie now.
That's,
you can like stop.
That's what Guardians 2 was.
Yeah, but it's as they're progressing through the movie, it's this is just they're on a ship just talking back and forth, and it's the same joke, which is, oh, like, I'm Star-Lord, I'm good looking too, and he like changes his voice or whatever, and it's just like it starts with Drax calling him fat, and
I think it was
like all that,
it was great until it was just the impersonating the voice thing that went a little too long for me.
Yeah,
it all goes the other stuff long. Was like great, and then he just keeps impersonating just a little too long, and I was like, okay, it's done.
Yeah, it goes too long. I feel like the Gunn brothers, because they apparently wrote all the lines for the Guardians in this movie.
Okay.
I feel like they wrote a script for that scene or whatever with like a bunch of jokes. They're like, you know, and then they gave it to the. Who's the director? Russo's, yeah. And there was like, here's a script for that scene. You know, just pick one. You know, pick out of those jokes whatever ones you want to do. And then they just picked all of them.
Oh man!
But
wouldn't it be interesting? Oh, sorry.
I was just saying, I love that whole scene because that's just how all of us look at Chris Hemsworth all the time.
Yeah, that's going back onto these like jokes, why they land for me is because like these are the stuff that like I would say or I would make fun of, you know, like they're in my head basically. And that's why I really like the jokes.
I was thinking, like, because that's the first time we see those two on screen together. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, which Chris is best? I don't know. And you're, like, thinking about it, too.
The whole movie
I will say, short hair Thor is real nice.
Yeah, super nice. Super nice.
God, his arms in this movie, dear Lord.
Yeah.
He's like a pirate angel.
With an angel.
Well, it's like pirate the part where he's like holding Rocket's pod back as he's trying to restart the whole station or whatever. And he's obviously like really pulling something. And I noticed alone a straight male in the theater.
I like how you had to clarify.
In the case of the vapors.
You just passed out in the middle of the movie.
Pretty much.
Did you watch it with Jamie?
No, I went to a matinee. She was at work, so.
Oh. Because I was gonna say maybe she heard you just go ugh.
She would have 100%. It would have been like all the times like Daisy Ridley's on screen, just like opposite. She always does that for Daisy Ridley.
So it's like her for Daisy Ridley and you for Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
Star Wars, like all the seats around Chris and Jamie in a Star Wars movie theater are just empty because like nobody wants to sit there because it's the splash zone.
Oh God.
They hand out ponchos to everybody sitting next to them. You will get wet. You may get soaked.
I was gonna say, like, wouldn't it be interesting if the respective directors for the different movies directed the scenes that those characters were in? Like, what a hot mess that would be.
Dear
God, that'd be awful.
It'd be so interesting.
That'd be awful. Wait, my favorite joke is when Loki gets stabbed in the chest. That's my favorite joke.
That was rude.
Did we call that one? That was one of the ones
we called, right? We did call that one. Said Loki was going to die in like the first 5 minutes.
And we were right.
I think he's dead though, you guys.
Yeah, I think he's dead too.
I think most everybody that died before is probably dead.
What about Gamora? That's the one
besides
that
Gamora, because I think her soul's trapped in the Soul Stone.
Oh. Yeah, see, okay. I guess we might as well talk about it now. Because for me, the stakes were really, like, finally real. And I was like, cool, Loki's dead. They did it, because that probably needed to happen.
They did it.
And Gamora's dead. That was surprising.
And Idris Elba.
And you did that in the first 10 minutes movie, and I stayed. So that took a lot for me to stay. But then,
man,
the way...
if anyone watched Infinity War 4 Heimdall, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I know, right? Like, oh, I can't wait to see what he gets to do in this movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he was badass in Ragnarok.
Oh.
He's dead.
Well, he saves Hulk, so he does one thing.
But... he does one good thing.
But the way it ends, like, they're obviously going to fix things. So how much are they going to fix? And if I swear to God, if it's just go back in time and fix it all, oh my God, that's just the worst.
Do you want to hear my theory, or should we just go through it all first?
Let's stop. Let's save theories for last.
Okay.
I feel like that's an ending
fair
point.
Enough. But
I was going to pose the question of, before we get into like our things we didn't like, let's continue on this things we liked.
Okay.
So which character do you think like shined the most, that you appreciated either their character development in this movie or just
Thanos,
their acting or whatever. Okay, Thanos.
Grape Dad.
Okay.
Oh, am I supposed to elaborate?
That's
or?
It.
Yeah, why?
If you'd like.
So with my, I have a handful of knowledge from the comics, right? Like, whatever. And
fucking nerd.
You're so mean to me today.
So mean.
Go build me some trade tracks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wait, I'm Irish. I'm also building train tracks.
Oh, hello, friend. And so what I know is that his original backstory was, it's purely like revenge plot sort of thing, right? Like, I want to destroy the Earth because I want to, or this universe because I want to destroy the universe. I'm angry about it, blah, 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 blah. But what they did to Thanos.
To, like, woo death itself, too?
It's, yeah, there's an actual reason, yes. And I know the actual reason.
But what they did, I felt like what they did to him for the movie was way better. I thought it was more on par of the things that I like. Thanos, I guess his intention was to save the universe by killing half of the universe, but specifically throughout the entire movie, he was just so sad looking throughout, like, when he was making, like, these decisions, when he was, like, revealing, like, his whole, like, why he's doing it. It was just, like, a lot of regret and, like, a lot of grief, like, when Gamora, when he switched Gamora for the Soul Stone, when he swapped him out, when he was just, like, a return on Amazon, free returns.
Do you have to put her in a box, or...
Yeah, and just shipped her out.
Priority Express, bitches.
That, pushes her out. Right? That was, like, the moment where I was just, like, oh, my gosh, Thanos is actually, like, it's not like I agreed with him, but, like, I saw his reasoning. And he was willing to sacrifice his daughter, she believed that he didn't, like, love anyone until he was like, haha, joke's on you. He didn't say that. He was, like, just tears. And he just straight up kills her. So all the way up until the end, like, there's a lot of, like, Thanos close-ups. And it was just, like, a lot of, like, I don't know, the CG Josh Brolin kind of mix was, like, super, yeah. Like, they just made him look so sad. And, like, when he actually does the thing that he says he's going to do, I didn't feel like he celebrated that with, like, grief. Like, he, you know, like, the mourning over, like, everyone that he chose to sacrifice. Like, that's how I felt, and that's why I really liked him.
And perfect casting, too, even for a CGI face, because Josh Brolin, in general, just looks sad and kind of dangerous at the same time.
Sad all
the time.
That's true. Josh Brolin does have a very sad, dangerous face. You're right.
Yeah, Thanos.
He'll kick your ass, but he won't feel good doing it.
And yeah, there was, like, moments, too, where he was, like, fighting, and he, you know, like, on that one planet where he uses the stones to mess with the Guardians, and he undoes it or whatever. He's not trying to kill needlessly. Even his decisions to wipe out everyone, he's like, it's a 50-50 chance. It's not, I'm not picking people. I'm not picking favorites, you know? Like, this is
maybe he should.
Maybe.
Probably should have got rid of the Hulk.
Probably should have gotten rid of all the people that went up against you and could have beaten you.
But even then, he was still like, he didn't seem like, he wasn't going to go out of his way to kill someone who didn't need to be killed. And that's what surprised me the most, and that's what I ended up liking the most about him. It felt 100% like a Thanos movie. If they renamed Infinity War to just Thanos, I would totally get it. And when, like, the credits were rolling, it said Thanos will return. It's usually, like, the titular character, right? So I appreciated that a lot.
Gotcha. Yeah, there was a lot about his character I enjoyed, and I really appreciated Marvel Studios, like, finally kind of having some depth to a character. But there was some things too that I don't understand. We'll get into it when we get to the negative stuff. But and it just held me back from, like, really loving his character completely. Especially like Killmonger in Black Panther. That's still the pinnacle of villain for the Marvel franchise for me. And Thanos didn't topple that. But I was glad to see that there was some reasoning and logic in his mind that this is the right thing to do. And you couldn't track that as much, especially with some of the plot holes that are in that process. But at least there was some reasoning that made sense. And they can elaborate on it. They could still continue it in the next one that I think could really kind of cushion that and support it even more.
Yeah. I agree.
In terms of, like, a character, first of all, Doctor Strange was a surprise because he was in a lot of this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot more things from his standalone movie that are important than you would think.
Yeah, and I enjoyed his character a lot, and he's a lot more magical and, like, cool. I like that.
Oh, man, he does so many cool things.
He does a lot of cool things. But I, you know who I really appreciate? Is I really appreciate Spider-Man in this movie, because, first of all, I think the acting was great. There's a couple of parts where I was like, wow, good on you for making me have a feel a little bit in a Marvel movie, as much as I can feel in a Marvel movie. And yeah. But in terms of his actual character, like, he's just like, I got to do this. Like, there's no question. He just kind of jumps into action and doesn't realize how high into space he's going, and just kind of gets brought along. And the entire time, he's just trying to do the best he can. He's the one that makes sure Mantis and, like, Drax is okay as, like, the friggin' moon's crashing into this planet, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, look at Spider-Man doing work over here.
Yeah, I will say I like Spider-Man in this movie as well, which I didn't like Spider-Man.
Come on. You don't have to lie to us.
No, I actually did.
I really like that he's like, hey, create a distraction. And it's like, well, yeah, everyone's going to panic by looking at this ship. We don't need to create a distraction.
Yeah. I liked his line when Iron Man is like, you need to go. What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. And he's like, how am I supposed to be in Neighborhood Spider-Man if there's, like, no neighborhood?
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of important, Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
Spider-Man as a character, I think, delivers, like, the best, like, meaningful one-liners because of, like, his, like, innocence compared to everyone else. I think he just, like, his line in Civil War was something along the lines of, like, if something goes... Like, if you're able to do something and you don't do it and something goes wrong, it's on you. Something similar to that. And so something like that where he's just like, I can't save a neighborhood if there isn't one. Like, his compared to, like, everyone who has, like, oh, I need to save the universe because I've had these powers and it's my responsibility. He's very, like, I'm looking out for, like, the little guys, but I have to play with the big boys in order to do that. Mm. And so I like that about him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, too. For me, I think the person I appreciated, one of the characters I appreciated most in this movie is probably Gamora.
Yeah.
Because you really get her daddy issues in this movie a lot. Her interaction with Nebula increases in this movie as well. You can even see she's, like, almost determined not to tell Thanos where the map is. But then she, like, keeps looking, and she's like, she kind of's like, damn it, like, this sucks. And her
this isn't the best, by the way.
Yeah, her dialogue between her and Star-Lord when she's like, you have to kill me or else it's gonna be real bad if you don't, that was really good. And that's one of the ones where it's Here's a really, really serious moment, and then there's a joke.
Yeah.
That wasn't even really... It was funny, but then looking back, I was like, eh.
They could.
That kind of took away. It took away.
Oh, hi, Drax.
Yeah, exactly. I think when she stabs fake Thanos in the neck real good, that... when she, like, crumples and falls and screams, it's almost like she's feeling the relief, but she's also saddened. She's angry that she had to do this thing. There's a lot going on in that really quick moment.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she takes Thanos to, I forget the name of the planet, but where the Soul Stone is, and we see Red Skull randomly, which
that's
I don't know
that's
why.
That's the thing I called, Patrick.
You did call
I
that.
I said he got transported, and you're like, no, that dude's super dead. And I was like, you wait. There he is. He's not Hugo Weaving, but shit, he's there.
I want to know your reasoning on how you predicted that.
It looked like he got transported. I don't know. It's the transportation stone or whatever. And I was like, oh, I bet you. I wonder if he goes into space and maybe he'll come back. And then I forgot about that as, like, all of the other Marvel movies happened I've seen since seeing Captain America. And then when we were talking about it, I'm like, oh, he's probably going to pop up. I'm like, oh, no, that's – no, he's probably not. No, he is. I'm going to stay with it. And, boy, I'm sure glad I did.
I just don't know why it's hit. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, here's fan service.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because it makes no sense. It's like, here, you're now doing this for some reason.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think they needed someone to explain. One, explain what the Soul Stone is. And then two, I think they're setting up for stuff later. Specifically with that, how that Soul Stone works or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just saying it could have been anyone. Yeah. It could have just been like a random person. Could have
been random ghost shade thing.
It could have just been a black... It could have just been Dementor, you know?
Oh, shit, it's an actual Dementor from Harry Potter, and he's just there.
Yeah.
I had to kill a ring right to get here. It's real complicated.
It was real hard. Thankfully, I am no man.
I think the Soul Stone's, I think, going to play the... Maybe even more than the Time Stone, and I hope it is, because the Time Stone has obvious solution. But hopefully the Soul Stone plays big in the next one, because we really don't see or hear or know what it does yet, really.
It collects souls.
But they don't even really say that.
They don't explain that, but you kind of get a hint of it at the end when he sees Gamora.
Yeah, you know. But it's one of those, like, is he in the Soul Stone then at that point?
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. So it's real ambiguous, and they can really, like, elaborate on it.
Yeah, for sure. They could. Yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody's expecting the time gem. So if they go Soul Stone, Dark Soul Stone,
yeah,
then that'll be a nice, fresh direction.
Yeah.
Not unexpected, but different.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into theories yet, because that'll be the end of this.
Right.
Another thing that I really like.
But in the end, it doesn't even really matter.
We don't know that. So another thing that I really liked about the movie in general was how, like, everyone, you know, based on what you know from the comics, based on actors, the end of their contracts. You know, like Chris Hemsworth wants to live with his family instead of acting, and Chris Evans wants to do more directing, and like all these ideas and all these like expectations, like so many people thought these were the characters that were gonna die, and it was the opposite of that.
It's like all the ones we know have franchises.
Yeah, and that's what I really liked about it, because I thought it was a pretty gutsy move. Like, sure, when they do come back, because I'm sure they will, it'll cheapen that ending, but for the experience, for what it is right now as it releases, because, you know, we're not supposed to know that they're going to have, like, 50 movies later, but, true, you know, unfortunately we do, because money and stuff, but,
right.
But, like, viewing it as a movie, it just, all expectations were just, like, you know, I'm trying to formulate the words, and I can't even do it.
I get what you're saying, like, as an experience right now. Yeah.
What I really, really, really was hoping for, like, I was, like, begging, like, to myself at the end, I didn't want an ending cutscene. I wanted it to feel very, like, final. Like, this is it. This is, like, a last movie that you're ever going to see. And I think by not having a ending cutscene, or cutscene, freaking A, an ending credit scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that feeling would last longer, and it would also, like, mess with audiences. But they did have an ending credit scene. I just kind of wish that there wasn't one. I was like, I was like, no, don't show me this. And then
I was back and forth on that, because, well, A, I wanted there to be one, because I had to piss like nobody's business. And I was like, I better not be waiting for nothing. And, but... that I was thinking the same thing, like, it would be kind of eerie not to have one. And as much as I was like, oh, cool, Sammy J, there he is again, it's been a while. It was one of those things where it was the ultimate, like, serious moment. Here's a joke, though, because he says, like, motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
And it's
too many goddamn particles.
There's too many Thanoses on this motherfucking planet.
Yeah. Post credit sequence. I left the theater not really knowing how to feel about it because I didn't know what symbol that was. So I had to ask someone about it via text message on the way out of the theater. So I walked out and I was like, I feel nothing after watching that.
I actually put two and two together because, like, at first I was like Nova Corps? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it does kind of look like that.
But then I was like, oh, yeah, they're making a Captain Marvel movie. I was like, that's probably what it is. And it was.
Yeah.
But that
my girlfriend was like, was that Captain Marvel? And I was like, maybe. Let me double check.
And I guess we could talk about her for theory section, because how she's going to play into this is wild speculation.
Yeah. So should we – oh, you have one more thing to say?
Yeah, I do. I really like the movie, so that I have a lot to talk about, but I'll kind of go through them real quick.
Well, you can be counterpoints to the negatives.
I guess so. Let me just run through them real quick. I loved I was sitting next to a guy who hated the Vision Wanda love story, I guess. But he also thought Venom was in the movie, so I don't really trust his judgment.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a trailer, but...
No. This guy, oh my gosh, he was some random guy that sat next to me, right? And he legit... He was talking to me about Venom. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to make a friend. We're going to talk about comic books. It'll be great. So the guy I was sitting next to was talking about Venom and how much he was so excited for Venom. And I thought he was just talking about, like, Venom as a whole. But towards the end, he was just like, well, Venom lives, though, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought he was just making a joke. And he was like, yeah, Venom lives, right? And I was like, Sony? Like that? And he's like, wait, what? And I was like, Venom's owned by Sony, dude. And then... He was just like, what? What? Like, he was so shocked and he was so serious. And my mind was blown. So I don't trust his judgment at all.
And then you did the Homer Simpson going into a bush.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I don't want to talk to this guy anymore. But I liked Vision and Scarlet Witch a lot. His line where he's like, you can't hurt me, I'll only feel you, was just like, oh, my heart. When Black Panther disappeared and his guard, Okoye, like the look on her face, that panic, I thought was super strong. And then the Spider-Man, Tony Stark scene where he disappears and he's just like, I don't want to go. And like, I'm sorry. And that one, like, got me.
That one was the good one, yeah.
That one was, yeah.
That was really well done.
No love for Rocket and Groot? What?
I mean, like.
They already said goodbye once. Like.
Oh, jeez.
It was real sad.
I was half expecting him. I wanted him to say, which he didn't say. But I wanted Rocket to be like, no, not again, not again.
Oh, that would be real.
That would have been more impactful, yeah.
That would have hurt me a lot. But yeah.
Ooh, that would have been good.
Yeah, why didn't they do that, right?
Where were you in the writer's room? Jesus.
Hire me, Disney. I keep telling them that. Let's see. Yeah, Peter Dinklage was okay. Unexpected.
His biggest role yet, right?
Oh, he did have a great line when Thor is like, well, that'll, like, I'll be dead or something. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, it'll kill you. He's like, only if I die.
It's like, that's what killing you means.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Otherwise, yeah, he's kind of, like, just there.
Yeah.
Plot device. But
Marvel was like, hey, Peter. We want you to play a dwarf in our upcoming Infinity War movie. And he's like, again, man? And there's like,
no.
Like a big dwarf.
No, you don't
Here's
understand.
$50 million.
Oh, man.
He's like, all right, I'll do it.
I'll That's real pay good. For it. So, okay, let's kind of dive into a little bit of maybe some of the things that didn't work and some of the plot holes and stuff. Because I think you mentioning Black Panther is actually a perfect kind of jumping off point here. Because as soon as Black Panther started fading away, I was like, yeah, this is all going away.
Yeah, exactly.
And that like, I was bummed at right when I saw him start to go. I was like, oh, man, because they're going to have to resolve this somehow. And everything that came before it might not, you know, mean anything now.
Yeah, and I noticed that as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is stupid. The biggest problem with the movie is not even, well, there are a lot of problems with the movie, I think, but one of the biggest problems with the movie is that we know the movies that come after this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if Marvel Studios didn't release that schedule or give away any of that information, I think that because you can still assume, like, well, some of these people are going to have to come back. I mean, like you said, Tiff, they need to make money, and Black Panther was, like, their most popular person. Why would they do that? So you would still be like, well, how are they going to resolve this? You know, you would still be asking more questions and being more hung on a thread.
So I like that scene a lot because it gave Michonne. what's her name? Okoye, like her moment, you know, her being a guard, being so faithful to the throne, and like that.
She can't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that helplessness for such a strong character, I really liked. When he does come back, it's gonna cheapen it a bit. But for that moment alone, for her moment alone, I really liked it.
Yeah. I also liked M'Baku just, like, looking around the battlefield and all these people disappearing, and he's, like, so confused because he can't yell at anything or hit anything with his big stick. Bucky disappearing was probably the one that confused me the most. Because now I'm like, well, maybe Bucky doesn't come back. I don't know. That's the one where I'm like, I don't know about that one.
He's signed on for, like, 10 more movies.
This goes with the theories, but... I think there's a very specific reason why a lot of the original Avengers are still around, and then the side characters who mean a lot to these bigger characters.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about Bucky at all.
Well,
also don't like Bucky, so I don't really care.
Yeah, no, I don't think Bucky. I don't think anyone. You care about Bucky, Patrick?
Yeah, I like his character.
You're like the one person on the planet that still cares about
Bucky. I know a lot of people who like Bucky.
Oh my god.
He's cool. He's got a metal arm. Which, by the way, why does metal arm disappear?
Wait a minute.
Oh shit. Well, it's everything everyone's wearing too disappears, so it's just kind of part of the attire, I guess.
Yeah.
They're obviously going for this is the final Avengers with your core crew from the OG that coming up, because they all
their
lived
swan song.
They all lived. So you have Hulk, you have Black Widow, you have Captain America, you have Iron Man, you know, you have your core group that's still there. So Thor. All the people that were in that circle as the camera went around them in the first Avengers are all alive.
Yeah. Cause I'm sure Hawkeye is probably alive. Wherever he's at, house arrest.
I think he's in the Ant-Man movie. I think that's where he's at right now.
Which is set before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would be a weird
Ant-Man takes place
to take place for this goofy kind of fun goofy movie with like this disaster that they have to live with forever.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would care about Ant-Man being under house arrest if half the world was gone, because his probation officer is probably gone.
Flip a coin.
I think it takes place like right after Civil War.
Yeah. Okay.
Or around like the time of like, you know,
that would make sense.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. The biggest problem for me in this movie was the Infinity Stones themselves.
Yep.
It's just and I totally understand. Like I can see why they would be, because you have something that has that kind of power, you're gonna run into writing problems. You're just going to. And I appreciate like how much they tried to combine everything into this one movie, but boy, is it hard knowing what we know that some of those stones can do and what we see in the movie happen and say that,
and what the characters know what they can do.
It's the time stone alone like ruins almost everything, because it's just one of those like, well, why don't you keep going back and trying to figure out a way? Like, I know you looked into the future and there's 14 million possibilities and only one works, but that's kind of small compared to the infinite amount of futures that you could possibly have if we're going to start talking about potential.
Yeah, you're only sitting there for 30 seconds. Yeah.
You can go back in time and look at another 14 million and go back in time and look at another 14 million.
I think that's the thing. When the idea of, like, time in writing is, like, really difficult to, like, you know, to make sense, because it doesn't exist in our world. But like, what's stopping someone saying, oh, I'm gonna go back in time and try to find a solution, but the future already knows that you went back in time and that is your future.
Yeah,
so
like, time travel stuff in movies is, like, super hard and full of plot holes just to begin with.
So it's like Doctor Strange saw a million or whatever, a billion, however many futures.
14 million.
Yeah. Probably going back in time was one of those futures, you know, like, he's seen it already. So it's like, yeah, time's dumb. Time is dumb.
It's tough, and it's just like, I can't see how, like, going back in time and saying, hey, Mantis, don't talk about Thanos' emotions for these 2 seconds that we need to get the glove off, because then you're going to not have to worry about Chris Pratt being all pissed off, because he kind of ruins everything. You know, like, let's just keep quiet for 5 minutes. We'll get the glove off, then we can figure things out.
And apparently none of those 14 million solutions were what exactly to say to Thanos to convince him to just double the resources in the universe.
I think, there's like the problem with like how, like, if theory is blending into what is canon and not and stuff. But like, does doubling resources last long? Like, does it last? And also there was like how much effort is that, you know? It's like a lot of like things that are unsaid, like, yeah, it's easy, and but it's also, there's no story after that. But it's like I think if they released like I guess there's like a bajillion comic books, but if they did one like a lore book specifically for like the MCU, I think that would be like interesting to read, like how or why they didn't include certain things.
Yeah, and a lot of it does come down to, like, we don't know, like, they never explain the limitations of the stones either. Mm-hmm. Like, and the limitations of using the glove for them. You know, it might be that Thanos doesn't have certain capabilities, but, I mean, he snaps his fingers and half of all beings in the universe are gone. So, I mean, he's got to have, if you can be capable of that kind of power, why not, like Patrick
maybe,
said, double the resources, or
maybe it can't build, maybe it can only like destroy things, you know, like we don't know that. And so it's like, it's hard to at that moment it really is like nitpicking, but that's what makes movies fun, because we know stuff, and that's like cool. And
yeah, another get around is maybe they don't even know that that's a possibility, is creating rather than destroying. So that's not even in their conceptual, oh, we could potentially do this.
But if he would know, he would know the Infinity Stones more than anybody else. And
true,
even the brief little bit of background we get on them is they are from the energy that created the universe. So like, if they are from the creation of the universe, maybe think about
creating.
You're
using them wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
or maybe it's like a matter of like, energy can't be created. It could only be like transferred or whatever. So, I don't know. Maybe you can't double resources without destroying things.
You have to, like, take to make those resources.
Yeah.
Maybe. And that's just it. Like, we don't know the rules to this. And that's hard in sci-fi and fantasy and that kind of this kind of stuff is you need to have some kind of set of rules for, like, a movie like Inception. You know, you have to have some kind of set of rules of how this is all going to get set up, or those plot holes are going to start being more apparent. You know, Back to the Future, we have to have a set of rules of how time works, so we can have a plot. And they don't take the time to really have a kind of set of rules for the Infinity Stones, because sometimes he can just instantly turn somebody into a pile of blocks or bubbles or whatever. And sometimes he chooses to fight instead, when he can easily just, with his mind, do whatever he wants, pretty much. Or change the entire world to look like what it used to, you know? Like, it's hard to tell what he can do and why he does the certain things at certain times. And that's my problem with Thanos' character. He has these great moments, and then he has these other moments where I don't understand his reasoning as to why he just doesn't obliterate all the Avengers right away and get them out of his way.
Yeah. I don't know. I would say that whole issue is one of my biggest things. I think another thing I've been thinking a lot, like just today in preparation for the episode, was his motivations. I have an issue with his motivation for why he wants to destroy the universe. That kind of ties into, like, you know, if you really care about the universe being sustained, there's probably other ways you could help recover the universe without just killing,
especially with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, everyone. But it's maybe you're just doing that because it's the easy way to do it, where maybe it'll take more time or more effort to do them the other ways.
Well, that's
like it won't just be a snap of your finger. Anyway, but I feel like there was more potential to connect specifically Ragnarok with this movie, because basically Ragnarok, the movie, is useless within the first 5 minutes of this movie.
Yeah,
because
all the Asgardians die, and it's like, geez.
Well, half of them, yeah.
I guess half of them, yeah. But it's like all this work that was done,
yeah,
gone. And, like, and Guardians 2. Or Guardians 1, yeah. I should say. Guardians, yeah, also. Because the whole, all the work to save that planet's fucked.
Yep. And it's just like, oh, how the whole thing with Ragnarok was like, oh, Asgard isn't a place, it's a people. Well, half those people are dead now and scattered. So who knows? And so I think, like we were talking about earlier, in the comics, Thanos' motivation for destroying half the people in the universe is because he wants to prove to Death, who he personifies as like a beautiful woman, that he's worthy of her love. So he does. So to do that, he wants to obtain the Infinity Stones with the Infinity Gauntlet to destroy half the universe, to prove to her that he's worthy. Now, we've already seen Death personified as a beautiful woman.
Kate Blanchett.
With Kate Blanchett, yeah. Who's ageless.
With those cheekbones that can cut through, yeah, anything.
Yeah. Cut through my heart.
Cut right through all of Thanos' defenses.
Yeah, exactly. Now, granted, she's the goddess of death for, like, you know, Asgard.
Right.
But you could have used her motivations in Ragnarok, which is, oh, we can conquer. Conquering's the best.
I love it, and
tie it in that in with, like, she doesn't want to just be the goddess of death for Asgard. She wants to be, like, the goddess of death for the universe.
I think
it would have been cool and interesting to see her be the puppet master and her actually using Thanos this whole time, because then it's unexpected. You've basically now wasted your first female villain in a Marvel movie, because she's dead, and there's no way she's coming back, probably.
But I do not like villain motivation, like to be romance like motivation in there. Like I don't know, I don't think like that. It's a
That's why I think if she was the puppet master, because Thanos' motivation, you're right, is romantically based, but her motivation isn't.
Right.
And if she's the big baddie.
I think this is a lot deeper, though, than like, he likes Cate Blanchett, you know, a lot. Like, too much.
No, I agree. I agree, but I think, and I'm not saying, I still think it works. His motivation works in this movie, but I think it could have been cool.
That's basically what I'm saying. I like kind of don't like that because, like, since Avengers 1, Loki was the puppet to whoever lent the Chitauri to them, who were a puppet to Thanos. You know, like, I don't want, like, additional layers. If he's been chalked up to be, like, this big bad, let him be that big bad. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. And then also, like, the whole, like, if she wants to be, like, the death for all of universe, like, that goes hand in hand with, like, all these other villains that we have issues with who just want to are bad guys just to be bad guys. At least Thanos is a bad guy because he thinks he's actually good, you know, like,
right,
something like that. Like, he's taking this burden as he doesn't even think he's a savior. He knows what he's doing. But he also thinks that that's like the only way to make people happy. Like, sacrifice the many to save also the equal amount.
He kind of sees himself as a savior, because a few times he says, like, this is a mercy, I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah. And I think, like, round two is going to be super important for his character too, because I think they could really solve a lot of the plot holes when we're saying, like, why didn't he do it any other way, if he's really fixated on, like, proving himself right, that this is how it should be done. you know. And,
yeah, because it does go back to, like, it could be part of his motivation is he wants to show they should have listened to him.
Yeah, and then he justifies, like, see, I could have saved the planet. And that's kind of, like, his way of coping with it, but it's, like, his planet's still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then yeah. Could he bring it back with the time stone? See, this is where my questions are going to come
Or up. Reality, or...
Yeah.
Well, I think at this point it was just like we just have to assume no, you know, like
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But yeah, like it's just like my big thing about like Thanos' motivations is like when he actually did end up making everyone go poof, like I just felt like he was just so like sad about it. You know, like that, like it's a mercy kill, but you're still sad about killing it, killing whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And that's like mostly how I feel about him.
Yeah. No, yeah, I see that too, for sure. Anything else before we go into theories for next?
Vision's the worst.
Vision's the worst.
Why?
Sorry, Tim. Okay.
He's literally useless.
Well,
but
here's
that
the
doesn't
thing.
Me. Okay, go ahead.
Here's the thing. I just don't think, like, their romance was built up enough for me to really see it happen and connect with it. And for the whole plot to rely on their romance and wanting to keep Vision alive, that was, like, a hard sell for me.
Yeah.
Vision, it just bothers me, and it's bothered me since Vision's creation, that he has literally an Infinity Stone in his freaking forehead. And it doesn't seem like he does anything with it. Like, they can't figure out how to use his character.
Shoots beams.
It's like that, and that's it. Like, Iron Man shoots beams. Like, who cares? Like, how does he play as a standalone kind of individual in this group that at first I thought what they were going to do is kind of make him, like, smarter than everybody and, like, kind of almost be a caretaker. And it's kind of what they try to do, but then... It never really gets to be fleshed out, and then he has to be taken care of. And I think that would have been a cool switch if he had been a better caretaker originally. But he just hasn't had time to develop. He's been swallowed.
And Tony's like, oh, he's gone rogue.
You're,
yeah, it's like, what?
You're like, I think you're forgetting that he's like been Jarvis this whole time. So maybe. I'm reaching and like I just have like a lot of sympathy because he's basically a robot, but
yeah, you like robots a lot.
No, this is like good to have this opinion where Patrick and I are just dunking and you're gonna be like no.
So in Age of Ultron he was programmed to do, he's a mixture of Jarvis and Ultron, right? And
right.
Ultron's primarily motivation was to protect the Earth, and the only way to protect the Earth is, oh wait, this is Thanos, wait a minute, Ultron is Thanos. Ultron was also a puppet of Thanos. Anyways, Ultron's motivation was the only way to protect the Earth was to destroy the things that are causing it harm, and that's the Avengers, right? So that's, like, his whole thing. But that's, like, a corrupted version. So I think when it combined that programming of of Ultron to Jarvis with, like, whatever Infinity or Mind Stone stuff, I think it just created like this super pure character. That's why he was able to lift Thor's hammer and things like that. He's worthy and stuff. That's how I reason why he doesn't really use the Mind Stone in like super amazing ways. Cause I think he's trying to be just good. That's like a little bit reaching probably. But that's kind of how I see it. And, like, their romance, it's a lot of me, like, because I loved – the only reason why I really like them together is because I know in the comics they have these two kids that are my favorite comic book characters. But since Age of Ultron, there is, like, this one scene where he saves Scarlet Witch, and then they develop that in Civil War. I think he's the only one that has been with her since her, like – because she was basically under house arrest.
Right.
And they're both outcasts, and she feels like she's like essentially like a monster in that movie in Civil War. Like she's the one that like destroyed everything.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
And like one, he's been there for her. Two, he's like not quite human, and he's learning. And So I think it had plenty of time to develop, but it could also be just me having this like backstory knowledge that they do get together, they get jiggy with it. that's like messing with like the pacing of like all the movies. But I think it's fine. Leave Vision.
Maybe
alone,
he
you
just
guys.
Maybe he just uses his Infinity Stone for like really good boning. And just uses all the energy up.
It's like, I'm gonna fuck your mind.
He doesn't have anything.
That's true.
He doesn't have anything. He's got attachments, I'm sure.
Is he like a fucking vacuum?
He's got like a USB port.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, and like I don't know what the Mind Stone can do or what it does. It's like it goes back to that, like what are the limitations? What are the powers actually? You know, are we thinking that it's more powerful than it actually is? Is it only powerful if they're all together? Mm. You know, like that's kind of how I saw them playing keep away with Vision.
True.
Yeah.
And
he could come back too. Because they say, you know, oh, you're a mixture of the Infinity Stone and, you know, Bruce and Tony and Ultron and Jarvis. Because there is a version in the comics that is, he's all gray. Mm. So, he could come back. He better do something if he does.
Yeah, I have theories about that too, but we'll wait.
Yeah, I think we're about to theories, though. So
yeah, I think maybe it's a good time to jump into theories. So, I don't know. Tiff, let's start with yours. This seems like a good place to start. You got one kind of congealed together. I have a couple ideas, too, but let's hear yours.
I guess a general theory is I think everyone who's surviving in this movie that we see on screen is going to die in the next one. I think somehow they're going to switch places with those that disappeared. I think there's a specific reason why Nebula didn't disappear, because I think she's going to end up switching spots with Gamora, if Gamora does live. If Marvel is risky enough to actually kill Gamora, I'd be very, very surprised.
Yeah. It'd be a weird Guardians movie without Gamora and Chris Pratt just sad about Gamora.
But yeah, so I think those, they're going to switch. I think in terms of Vision, I think Shuri downloaded him. That's kind of like my idea, that she has like a copy of him somewhere.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
And then also, I forgot. You go next.
Well, what about, how do you feel Captain Marvel's going to play a part in the next one?
What is Captain Marvel's powers?
Like, she's real good at things.
Yeah.
Can you do my homework? Oh, shit, it's so good.
Look. She, like, flies and changes, like, body parts, right?
Changes body parts?
She is, so Captain Marvel's a title that is given to, like, you know, it's not like her superhero name. It's a title that multiple. It's like Green Lantern sort of, you know, sort of thing. Because the original Captain Marvel that we're gonna see is Jude Law. Mm. In the movie, he's gonna have the title Captain Marvel, and it's more of like she has Kree blood in her. So. What's his face from Guardians 1?
Yeah.
The Defiler. Yeah. He's Kree. So, like, she has Kree blood in her. And it's kind of think.
I thought I saw something about her absorbing powers as well.
So that's her main power, is she can absorb power and then shoot it back.
I think that
reflect it back. Yeah.
I feel like that probably will come into play.
I just assumed she was a space cop.
She's writing up Thanos for like a citation.
Because I heard
Space Ghost.
I heard Adam Warlock is the character that dons the Infinity Gauntlet or whatever that'll end up like saving everyone. And he's what shows up at the end of Guardians 2. So I assume
He's in the egg.
The golden egg. The golden goose.
Oh, yeah, well, I totally forgot about that too, yeah.
Yeah, so Adam Warlock, he's a character that's really interesting because in the comics he gets the Soul Gem, actually. which is green in the comics, so it's very confusing. So he has the soul gem. He becomes this, you know, super being, basically, because he's designed to be, you know, the best sort of thing in the universe, right? Mm-hmm. And so he fights Thanos, I think, at one point, and wins in the comics. But anyway, but he's an interesting character because he fights this, I forget the name of it, but he fights this thing that turns out to be him from the future.
Oh.
And so he goes back to basically kill himself, so that doesn't happen.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah, sort of thing. And then traps his own soul in the soul gem so that he can still continue to be Adam Warlock without the bad person he becomes in the future, because basically the soul gem
fucks him
like
up.
Taints yeah. him. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think he's going to play a part. That would be too confusing, I think.
How many original Avengers are there? Is it Tony Stark, Captain America, Thor?
Tony Stark, Captain America, Thor, Hulk,
Hawkeye, Black Widow.
So that's six characters.
War Machine?
Six stones. I don't know. Do you count? He's going to die somehow.
He's going to break his legs again. You're saying each one's going to get a stone?
Get I don't a kidney know. Stone? I'm just saying, six original members, gonna get six stoned. Stones.
They're all going to get in a circle, and they're like, there's only one way to deal with this. Let's get blazed.
Yeah, that's how they're going to do it. Yeah, like some sort of sacrifice or whatever, you know, that's what I'm betting on.
I have a couple theories, and then I have one that's completely outlandish that they won't do, but they totally should. but in terms of more serious ones, I think no one's dead that got disappeared. I think they got put into the Soul Stone. I think that's going to be revealed. Like, that's the power of the Soul Stone. It's like, yes, they're dead, technically.
Gone.
Yeah. But they're actually just trapped in the Soul Stone.
But wasn't Red Skull also trapped in the Soul Stone?
No, he's just trapped on that planet because he can't leave.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was trapped in, like, I thought that was, like, some kind of, like, representation of, like, the Soul Stone. And
no, he's just, like, the guardian of it.
I thought you were saying, like, everyone's off at in the 50% of the universe that disappeared is now on that planet.
Oh, like, no.
Elbow to elbow. Like,
I guess have a party? I don't
Yeah.
Well, I guess everyone, are you going to the mixer? I don't want to go to the mixer.
fucking Catalina wine mixer.
But so I think that's a possibility, and them figuring that out and figuring out how to tap into that power and get people in and out of there, it might be part of the plot. I think the Infinity Stones, like, being separated again will probably be part of it too. And one of those ways very well might be Thanos trying to use the Infinity Gauntlet to bring Gamora back. And since he does, he loses his trade. And so the Soul Stone goes back. So that might play into it as well. And then they can try to get the Time Stone from there and then do the whole, you know, go back in time kind of thing from there, because now he's not as powerful as he was with all of them. And he's not obviously willing to give up, you know, Gamora permanently. And that goes back to actually Red Skull's phrase of like, hey, are you ready to make this sacrifice? And he's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, we all think that at first. And so maybe more people have gotten the Soul Stone before and reneged and so gotten their loved one back. So no one's really had the Soul Stone for long because none of them can handle the cost.
Interesting.
Right.
And so, yeah. Now, the totally outlandish thing that they totally should do is have a TV series alongside of this.
A sitcom starring Thanos as the dad.
Da-da-da-da-da-da, everywhere Gauntlet. You look. Everywhere
you look,
there's a stone.
Only half people there.
Oh.
But they should have a TV series alongside of this that is, hey, half of everyone's gone, and we just have to deal with it now. And we get to see this, like, alternate reality play out of...
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Earth dealing with this, and what does it do? And Thanos... like saying, oh, this is gonna be great for you eventually, is just totally fucked up, because humans just take advantage of situations like this to wreck even more. So like the world becomes a worse place in this wake of this dystopian thing that's happening.
And yeah, it would suck if half the people that lived on Earth were all Hitler.
Yeah. And, you know, really play the angles of, like, you know, there would be people that think this is a religious event. And maybe even if they found out about Thanos, might even start worshiping him or trying to, like, pay tribute so he doesn't do it again. Or, and,
yeah, just freaking relapse back to ancient history.
Yeah. And then I think you should have the Avengers, like, try to figure this out, and they just fail. And the only ones left to try and keep things peaceful on Earth are these nobody superheroes that have very small powers that no one thought anything about. But now they're like, well, okay, so... I can turn things cold, I guess. I guess
so
it's
you
up
could
to
do
me.
That. You could do that, and you don't even have to make a new show. You can just do that with, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Netflix.
Yeah.
Or you should make the Young Avengers. Because there's a comic book, The Young Avengers, where there's a bunch of kids.
So Young Justice, basically?
But, yeah, I guess so. Not really, because they weren't sidekicks. They're basically fanboys of the Avengers. The Avengers are gone, either dead or missing. And they decide to become the Avengers to kind of restore hope and things like that. So a lot of them have different powers than the Avengers, but they disguise themselves to be similar. Like so Scarlet Witch's kid, one of her kid has her powers in the comics, is like to manipulate reality and stuff like that. But he limits himself to only using like thunder and lightning and stuff like that to kind of mimic Thor. And then there's also a shapeshifter who shapeshifts into something that looks like Hulk.
Interesting.
And then there's Kate Bishop, who adopts the role of Hawkeye. She's like a marksman. She ends up being becoming Hawkeye later. So if you wanted to go that route where you have like a TV show, I think that would be like perfect for them.
Yeah. And
so here's the question for that. Animated or live action?
Oh, dang.
I don't know. Just dark. Whatever you do, I want to see them do something dark. Like half the world's gone, deal with it.
I don't think
Daredevil's kind of dark.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones is kind of
maybe
dark.
Like a Netflix series then. Live action Netflix series. Because I don't know.
Well, Disney, it's the perfect opportunity if Disney's going to start their streaming.
That's true. And they can say, hey, this isn't just for kids. Like, you know, there's shows that have a darker tone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to mess up the movie universe. This is just like, this is what happens if they failed kind of thing. Like they never go back on it.
Well, it's like, well... Because the obvious thing to deal is all the Avengers that are left over, they're going to have to go into space or whatever to find Thanos. Yeah. And so who's left?
And some might come
deal
back.
Deal with Earth.
But, like, they're probably.
But in the meantime.
Up. Like I could
yeah,
see.
Yeah, in
Tony
the meantime,
Stark,
who's on Earth?
Yeah, exactly. And I could see, like, Tony Stark just falling headfirst into alcoholism, especially if, like, Pepper Potts is one of the people that disappeared, you know?
It's true.
Interesting.
You could play, like, failed superheroes, and how do they deal with it? Because they're not used to failing, you know?
Now, are you talking about Iron Man or, like, Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, because one of the biggest theories going into Infinity War was how Hawkeye was going to show up and how he was going to be Ronin. So let's say he still could – that still could be a thing because – the thing he cared about the most was his family. If his family's gone, it's like, all right, well, I'm back in the game because I have to be.
I really hope Hawkeye is not the answer to all this.
I'm not saying he's the answer to all of it. I'm just saying that's a thing that could happen. Want to hear my theory?
Hmm.
I don't know. This is why at the beginning I was like, all right, Marvel, you have me back for a couple more movies. Because I walked out of the theater and I was like, I don't know. I know they are going to resolve it.
But how? Yeah.
But I'm more in it to just like... I'm going to sit back and I'm not going to think about it too much. I'm going to sit back and see what they do with it. Because I walked into Infinity War thinking that I knew more things than I thought was going to happen that didn't happen. And so I think for the next Avengers movie, I'm just going to, next year, I should be like, you know what? I don't really have a theory. I'm sure the more I think about it, the more it'll just like naturally occur. I'm like, oh, I could see them doing this or just like... I agree with both of your theories that either of those things could be a thing, or a mixture of both. But I just think, like, I'm more on the line of, like, all right, Marvel, you did something different for me in this movie. You didn't go the routes that I thought you were going to go, like, at all. And so for your next, like, Marvel movie, Avengers movie, I'm just going to be like, you know what? I don't really have a theory. I have, like, minor things that I want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want Thor to play a big part because he was really badass. I want Okoye to, like, don a Black Panther suit.
Oh, shit.
Dude, Shuri, though.
Yeah, she's not the fighter that Black Panther is.
Both. I guess
there's
so.
Multiple suits.
But, like, Okoye could, like, do it because she already is a really good fighter.
I don't think she's going to do it because I think there's, like, a lot of honor and title behind the Black Panther, like, mantle. So I don't think she's going to do it at all. The next person in line would be Shuri, though.
Yeah, or M'Baku could do it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Could don a suit. That'd be cool, too. He's a little beefcake, though, so I don't know
not gonna fit in that
how
suit.
That would work. Well, it's nanobots, yeah, so I don't think it matters how big you are.
There's a lot of nanobots weird, dedicated though. To yeah. the lower region there.
Oh, which that was the part I really liked when Iron Man was getting the shit beat out of him. You could see the nanobots starting to, like, get thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
The more they got used.
Try to rep, like, kind of cover key areas as they were being.
Yeah,
because
he, like, rips off his helmet and then, like, he gets a new one, but it's, like, you could tell, like, there's parts where it's just, like, he has to start putting it all into the shield that he puts up mm-hmm. because there's not enough nanobots, you know.
Right.
That was kind of cool. Anyway, that was a side note. But, yeah, I don't really have a huge theory. I think the Soul Stone will play a bigger part than the Time Stone. I agree with you, Chris, on that one.
I really hope so, because, like, the Time Stone, I think, if they really make that the centerpiece, like, that's a cop-out.
Yeah, it is. But it's like, if they do it, then they do it. Fine. As long as they do it well, I won't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I will. But yeah, I think just I have, like, little things that I want to happen. Like, obviously, like, I want, like, Hulk to come back. I want that to be resolved.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what a misdirect.
I know, right? Like, in the trailers, they're all running and Hulk's with them.
Oh, yeah.
Hulk
absolutely.
Is there, yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. So, it's a lot of people don't like that, like, a lot of Marvel trailers are purposefully misleading, but I really like that.
I love,
like,
it.
Yeah, it's unpredictable or, like, you know, they're hiding things for, like, good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it because, like,
Thor's eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it because you get that, like, idea of what's going on, but, mm-hmm. like, I'm not sitting in the theater thinking, like, well, they haven't got to this in the trailer yet. You know, because there's a little bit of that, but then you're like, oh, well, we never got to that. Huh. You know?
Yeah.
Or that person wasn't even there. Or 15 other people were.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we got to start wrapping this episode up.
Yeah.
But before we get into Weapon of the Week, one last thing that I forgot about when we were talking about the disliking section. Thor comes in and they didn't play Thunder by AC/DC and it really upset me.
Oh, my
what
God.
A waste. What a waste. But shall we move on to Weapon of the Week?
Sure.
Hey, Tiffany, you created the song. You want to sing it?
Nope.
All right, I'll do it. When you're surrounded by zombies and your future looks bleak, it's time to pull out your weapon of the week. Infinity Gauntlet.
All right, so Tiff. First of all, do we have any sent in?
I don't believe so, no. I just checked.
Okay.
I can write one real quick.
Yeah.
Well, you're on the show.
So. Tiff, what is your weapon of the week? Well, first of all, just in case you haven't heard of what weapon of the week is, weapon of the week is anything you've seen, played, read, whatever media. That weapon in that is your weapon now for the zombie apocalypse. How long do you live? And what's your catchphrase using it?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so last time I, because I've been playing God of War, so I already submitted my I would use a Leviathan axe and I would say boy after every kill. So, but I'm still playing God of War. So I think my weapon of the week this time is an actual boy that I get to, that I carry on my back, like a little backpack, and that I can throw at things, at the zombies.
And you press square and he shoots arrows?
Yes. but mostly just throwing him and just yelling at him because he's never doing nice. Things right. Never proud of him.
Just really putting him down.
Yeah.
So your weapon of the week is emotional trauma.
Emotional abuse. Verbal abuse. You're going to really put down those zombies. They're
going to
feel real bad about themselves.
Tim's weapon of the week is sending them all to therapy later in their life.
All the money spent on therapy.
Oh, God. Oh, man. That's good. I like it. Patrick, what do you got?
Mine is, as I alluded to, the Infinity Gauntlet with all these stones in it. But the caveat is, I only destroy half the zombies. So there's still half the zombies left. And my catchphrase, I'll do it, I'll snap my finger or whatever, and I'll do it. And then after I see that I only destroyed half the zombies, my catchphrase is, man, really half-assed that one.
What does he say to Thor? That's what you should have said. You should have said,
you should have aimed for the head.
You should have given me head, I think is what he says.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says. He says, give me head, Thor.
What?
You got a pretty mouth. Which I don't think he was really aiming. I think he was just throwing it at him and was like, I hope I hit him.
Yeah. my weapon of the week is also the Infinity Gauntlet with all the Infinity Stones. But the caveat, of course, with mine is that I don't really use them at all.
You actually end up just punching
them.
Yeah,
I just go up to all of them with the Infinity Gauntlet on. I just start punching them. And my catchphrase, every time I punched a zombie in the face and, like, broke, you know, all the remaining rotting bones in its body, I would say, this is a mercy. This is a mercy. This is a mercy.
It kind of is. They're zombies.
That's true.
Well, if you want to submit your own weapon of the week or give us your thoughts about Infinity War, your theories, your favorite jokes, some memes, some wholesome memes, because that's one good thing that's come out of this movie, yes. Is a lot of wholesome memes and not so wholesome.
I've seen some terrible ones, yes.
Yeah, you can go to theportport.com. That's theport, P-O-R-T-E, P-O-R-T.com. And find all our social media links there and our email and do it that way.
Also in the description, Patrick.
Mm. They're also in the description as well. but yeah, I think that about wraps it up. I got to eat some dinner and watch Westworld episode 2.
Oh yeah, I need to do that too.
I got other geeky things to do.
Here. Everyone dies at the end of Westworld.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Well, don't need to watch it, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Patrick signing off.
And Chris.
And Tiff.
We'll see you next week.
That is our Geek of the Week.
Which will be me and Chris will be in person, face to face, for real recording next week. Because I'll be in Tennessee taking a little visit.
Nice.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, shit, you're coming here? Wait, what?
Wow.
Yeah, Chris, I'm coming.
Huh. Oh.
And I'm coming hard.
Stop.
we'll see you next week.
Wow.